want you to be turning to Numbers chapter 29. And what are we doing? Well, we have been studying the feasts of Israel, and we have been doing this on Wednesday nights, and we've been looking not just at the feasts, we've been tying the feasts in with prophecy because they're all tied into prophecy, and we've also been tying the feasts in with the Lord Jesus Christ because they all have some connection with Christ. There are incredible prophecies in these. We've read them. We've studied them now, and this is the fourth feast that we're studying. And I worked it this way, obviously, but we are studying Rosh Hashanah. That's the Jewish New Year, appropriate, right? And so that's what we're going to be studying. Now I'm going to take you to Numbers first. And then we're going to go to different places, but let's go ahead and start at Numbers, and we'll be close. We're going to be in Deuteronomy and other places like that. But many of the Bible prophecies that we find in the Word of God have connections, of course, with Christ. They're either prophesying the Messiah, as you'll see, because this is connected to the Messiah. And so within the Jewish holiday, you find the feasts. And of course, these are all found in the Old Testament, obviously. And so in Numbers 29 is where we see that the Lord gives the Jewish people Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, or also called the Feast of Trumpets. So when you're talking about the feasts, it's called the Feast of Trumpets, all right? And of course, since we're studying the feasts of Israel, it fits in. If you're just studying not the feasts, this holiday has the Feast of Trumpets within it. You'll learn that in a moment. And so it can be called the Feast of Trumpets, but actually that's part of the holiday. The holiday itself is called Rosh Hashanah. And of course, it's celebrating the Jewish New Year. Now, I'm gonna throw something at you, as I have with just about every one of these, and that's the fact that their calendar is different. And that's why the very, very first lesson that I gave you concerning this had nothing to do with the feasts. It had to do with the calendar, because their calendar is different from ours, remember? And they have two. They have the religious and the civil. So I'm going to kind of throw that at you so that you know exactly, because they're not celebrating the new year when we celebrate the new year, all right? All right, Numbers 29, it sounds like you're there, so look at the first six verses. It says, "And in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work. It is a day of blowing the trumpets unto you." Ah, did you see it? So it's called the Feast of Trumpets, and now you get why. Now this is God speaking. "The blowing of the trumpets unto you. And ye shall offer a burnt offering for a sweet savor unto the Lord, one young bullock, one ram, and seven lambs of the first year without blemish. And their meat offering shall be of a flour mingled with oil, 3/10 deals for a bullock, and 2/10 deals for a ram, and 1/10 deal for one lamb throughout the seven lambs. One kid of the goats for a sin offering to make an atonement for you, beside the burnt offering of the month of and his meat offering, and daily burnt offering, and his meat offering, and their drink offering, according unto their manner, for a sweet savor, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord." So obviously, remember, they had the tabernacle, then they had the temple. That's when all these sacrifices were going on. And so with each one of these, of course, we have studied, we have seen where there are sacrifices going on. There's something going on in the temple. Today, there's something going on in the synagogues, all right? So what we see then is the festival of Rosh Hashanah is actually instituted here. Now, I'm going to give you some definitions, because you say Yom Kippur, you know, Rosh Hashanah. So just hang in there, all right? But this is where it comes from. This is when the Lord told Moses to actually have this festival and this celebration of the new year. And so it is instituted by God, because not all of them are, remember, but this one's instituted by God, and it's given to the nation of Israel. We're not involved in this, remember? So this is given to the nation of Israel. Rosh Hashanah is actually one of the high holidays of Judaism. This is a big deal. This is one of the big ones, all right? Rosh Hashanah means, and this is very important, so for you note takers, this is a big one, all right? It means head or beginning, or the start of a beginning. Head or beginning, or the start of a beginning, all right? It is It is celebrated on the first 2 days of the month of Tishri. The month of Tishri, if you remember, well, you probably don't, but it straddles our September-October months, all right? And it is their first day of their civil new year, all right? Now, you said, okay, so when I look at this, Pastor, this starts our civil new year, but when I read this, it said in the seventh month on the first day of the month. Right, but remember, they have two calendars. On their religious calendar, it is on the seventh month, on the 10th day of the month. And it falls at the same time in their civil calendar. So it's the two calendars, and I'm not going to go through that again, all right? I already taught it. If you weren't here, get the CD, because it's really cool to learn this. And so both calendars, they match up, but they match up at different times, all right? So Tishri, today, they celebrate it in that month, which straddles our September, October, and that starts their new year, all right? At that time, in their religious calendar, that's what God told them to do. So is there a discrepancy? No, remember, there is no discrepancy. It's just one calendar and another calendar, but they all match up, all right? So let's go beyond that now. So what is it? It's going to be 2 days of celebration. That's all it is. It's not a week like we've seen before. No, this is 2 weeks, and it's a very important holiday because of what it means. Now, the thing about this Rosh Hashanah is that you're going to find what God said, and then through the periods of times, especially back during the temple days, the priests actually added some things. You know, by the time the Lord comes around, Judaism has gone beyond God. They have added to the religion and added to the religion. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they're doing stuff way beyond what the Sabbath called for as far as God was concerned. And all of that, well, the same thing happened to this one, all right? It was added onto. And so I want to cover that with you. It's very important. It does start the Jewish New Year, but I want you to understand that it also starts the Jewish people on the right foot for the year. And then that's where Judaism came in and went a little more than God. They really kind of overstepped it here. But it's a two-day celebration, and it starts with 10 days of penitence. Okay, now hang in here with me. It admonishes the people to repent of their sin and perform good deeds in order to merit an inscription in the book of life. Did you read that in there? No. Okay? So this is according to Judaism. This is not according to God. All right? So hang in here with me, because there's more. So it admonishes the people to repent of their sin and perform good deeds in order to maintain their merit in the inscription, an inscription in the book of life. The penitence is good deeds and helping people. And so there's 10 days before we get to Rosh Hashanah that actually they're preparing themselves with this penitence, okay? Now, mind you, this had nothing to do with God. God never commanded this, all right? This has been added. Now, in this 2 days of celebration, it is in three parts, and this God did command, and we're going to look at it. That's why, you know, I will take you to different places so that we can confirm this. There's three parts to the celebration. 2 day celebration, three parts. The part number one is the day of judgment. The second part of the celebration is the day of the blowing of the trumpet. And the third part of the celebration is the day of remembrance. Now, you have to make sure that you understand that in these 2 days, they are actually going to divide this into three. They're going to start with the day of judgment. And that's where Judaism went crazy and started adding all these days of penitence and all this, all right? Because they wanted to become so close to God, and maybe if we do more than what God asked for, that kind of thing. And then from there, they move into the second part of this holiday, and that is the day of the blowing of the trumpets. And then they actually end the second day, it's a two-day affair, the second day, with the day of remembrance. All these are very, very important that we keep in mind as I continue this, because they were of God, and God did intend for those to happen, okay? He wanted within this holiday that we just read here in the 29th chapter, he wanted these three things to be kept in mind. So he did want them to keep judgment in mind. He did want them to keep the fact that there's going to be the blowing of the trumpets. That's a celebration part. And then there's the remembrance. When it gets cool, we'll be at the end here tonight when we plug in prophecy, okay? But these are the three parts. Now, this theme of God is of God to keep these three going. Now, the judgment. I want you to understand the judgment. The judgment is not to decide eternal destiny. It's to decide God's blessings on you for this coming year, all right? So I know this is going to sound a little wild, but it is what it is, all right? So the judgment part, which is the very beginning of Rosh Hashanah, is concerning earthly matters for the new year and how this new year is going to affect you as a Jew in God's eyes. And that's why there's the 10 days of penitence before the new year starts, all right? So we're celebrating the new year. We're into the new year already. That's Rosh Hashanah. And so concerning these matters, now, according to Judaism, keep that in mind, according to Judaism, the judgment handed down on that day will be recorded in the book of life. We find that nowhere, but according to Judaism, all right? It decides a person's fate in this life for the coming year. Do not put this into eternal life, okay? It's only for what's going to happen to you this year. So how you have done your penitence, how God has judged you for last year, is how you're going to be blessed this year. That's the part of the judgment according to Judaism, all right? Now, what we find is that on Rosh Hashanah, your behavior is judged, but it's only for the here and now, because it's only for this year coming up. And according to Judaism, the verdict is settled by God opening three books, okay? There is the first book, which is the one listing the righteous. See, this is according to last year, all right? The righteous. The second book is listing the wicked. And the third book is listing the somewhere in between people. I like to know who determines that somewhere in between people. And so we got the three books, all right? So guess what you're trying to do now? Jump books. But not if you're in the righteous book. But if you're in the wicked book or the we don't know about you book, you're trying to jump into the righteous book, all right? I'm not kidding. I'm making a joke out of it, but it is what it is, all right? So, and because it's Judaism, I really don't, you know, it's not God that did this. Now, what do we do then? Okay, so those in the first book, which is the book of the righteous, they immediately know that they will be blessed in 2018. Or, you know, they're in the 5,000, I forget not right now. But that's what it says. Those that are in the wicked book, now they realize that they were not good last year. As a matter of fact, they got no presents for Christmas, no. And so they are wanting now to make up for it, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. I'll tell you how in just a moment. So they're going to make up for it so that they can get at least into the somewhere in between book. And those that are in the in between, obviously they want to get into the righteous. Everybody wants to get into the righteous, all right? But you know, it depends on where you're at here. So in the first book, you're immediately blessed for the year. Those in the second book will not receive blessings and may die that year because they're in the wicked book. And those in the third book have 10 days to repent and perform enough good deeds to outweigh their bad deeds, all right? Now, Rosh Hashanah is known for the blowing of the trumpets. Now, that's the judgment part. I'm going to come back to that. But right now, let me cover the three, all right? So we have the judgment. I just explained it. But it's also known as the blowing of the trumpets, the Feast of Trumpets. So what's with the trumpets? Okay, well, the trumpets is going to start with the blowing of the shofar. The shofar is that ram's horn. The word shofar actually means blasts. So that's when the blasts happen in the shofar. And so what we have is that in the middle of the 2 days, we begin to leave the judgment. And that doesn't mean now that if you're trying to get to that book of righteous, you're going to leave anything. No, you're still struggling there, okay? But now we're going to kind of move into the trumpets, all right? And we're going to start with the blowing of the shofar. And so in the middle of the 2 days, they blow the shofar. And when they blow the shofar, what happens? Okay, let's go to Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10. Look at verse 1, verse 2, and we'll skip to verse 10. Numbers chapter 10. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee 2 trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. Now, skip to verse 10. Also, in the day of your gladness and in your solemn days. Ah, this is a solemn day. So notice how now we connect this with Rosh Hashanah, because it is a solemn day, all right? Because God said it was a solemn day. So in your solemn days, and in the beginning of your months, well, the beginning of the months is the beginning of the new year, or the year, all right? Ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offering, because remember, they're doing these offerings in the temple, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. All right, so now you see the connection. All right, so we've got to then incorporate the blowing of the trumpets into this feast, because this is one of the high feasts. And we're doing sacrifices in this feast, which you just read in chapter 29. And so that's where now we incorporate the blowing of the trumpets. All right, now the blowing of the shofar, this is important. The blowing of the shofar only happens on Rosh Hashanah. And it's also blown in battle. It's to regroup the armies. It was also used to tell the people that they were being invaded. But it's mainly to regroup them, to gather them either to fight, to run, to take shelter. But if it's a holiday or if you're not in war or anything like that, it's going to be part of only Rosh Hashanah. So of the feasts, it's not blown anywhere else. It's only blown in Rosh Hashanah, all right? I want you to notice something. There are 2 silver trumpets, and there's the shofar, all right? So there's a total of 3 trumpets that are going to be blown here, because that's what God said to do. Now, the blowing of the shofar and the other 2, they remind the Jewish people of 2 things. They remind the Jewish people to offer their lives to God. So within this feast, and by the way, that's what God said. They're going to be reminded of God and the fact that they are God's people, all right? You notice he says, I am the Lord your God. And so that's what they're supposed to hear. When they hear that trumpet, it reminds them, we are of Jehovah. We are Jehovah's people, all right? So it does that. Secondly, it reminds them to have faith in the future coming year, or in this year that they're going into, because it could be the year of the Messiah. Amen. So, I'm one of God's people, and this could be the year of the coming of the Messiah. Okay, so very interesting there, because that's what it reminds them of, the Messiah's coming. All these are basically reminding Israel about God, and of course, God saying, I am your God to them. And I'm never going to abandon you, never going to leave you. And this is just to remind that we come together. So Rosh Hashanah is known also as, that was the trumpet blowing, okay? The day of remembrance. So remember, there's the 3, judgment, trumpets, remembrance. And now you can see why. Because the blowing of the trumpet is going to bring remembrance. So we've got the judgment, getting ready. God said, yes, get ready for the new year. Then blow the trumpet, and the trumpet's going to bring me into your remembrance. All this other stuff that was added by Judaism about the penitence and all that, no, that's Judaism. So God said, I want you to realize that there is judgment. So how are you coming into the new year? A self-examination. Then he said, there's going to be celebration with the blowing of the trumpets. I am your God. And then he says, and that's going to remind you of who I am. And so all three are in there. Now, let me bring it to today now. Okay, that's in stone. We know that. That's God's command. But now today. So let's talk about today, because with all of these, we brought it to today. The typical Rosh Hashanah family. So how are they gonna do this? We have no temple now. We have no sacrifices now. So how do we do it today? Well, the celebration starts with a hearty meal. Okay? So obviously remember, it starts at 6 o'clock. Okay, and that starts tomorrow. So it starts at 6 o'clock, and it starts with a hearty meal. And so the family starts with a hearty meal, eaten with the emphasis on sweet foods, probably chocolate, but anyway. And so sweet foods, and it symbolizes a sweetness and abundance for the new year. All right, so that's how they start. Now, they're getting ready because they're going to head to the synagogue in just a moment, okay? And that's the way all of these pretty well go, you know. But so they're going to have their meal. They're going to have their sweets because it's going to be a sweet and hearty new year. And then the Jewish family goes to the evening service at the synagogue where, of course, they've been getting ready because they are celebrating Rosh Hashanah, all right? And the new year is going to be breaking, all right? So as they enter the door, there's a greeting. And some of these have had greetings. This one does. They greet themselves with the words, may God inscribe you and your loved ones for a healthy and happy new year. That doesn't necessarily go with the penitence thing. Actually, they're just saying, may God bless you this new year. And it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, all right? But that's the greeting as they come into the synagogue. The rabbis, they use that greeting. The families, they use that greeting with one another. And so let me say it again. May God inscribe you and your loved ones for a healthy and happy year. Now, the highlight of this is going to be many times going to the synagogue. And those times vary depending on, you know, whether you're in Israel or whether you're in the United States. And it depends on what the synagogue does, all right? And there's nothing in stone that says God said that you have to know. But they know they have to meet to worship God. And I'm going to give you some things in just a moment. But what we find is that the highlight is going to be the blowing of the shofar. That's a big deal. So we come to the synagogue, and while we're in the synagogue, even though it's early on, there's going to be the blowing of the shofar. So it is looked upon as an act of celebration and crying out to God, we are your people, okay? The blowing of the shofar. And so what we find then is that there is the blowing of the shofar, and we're going to continue to do that in every one of the services of the synagogue. We come in with the greeting. There's going to be reading in just a moment. I'm going to tell you about that. And then there's going to be the celebration, and then we blow the shofar. And we do that many times. I'll give you that in a moment. However, before the shofar is sounded, there's the reading of the 47th Psalm. And I was going to take you there, but that's okay. You can do that at home. The 47th Psalm is recited seven times, one after the other. So you're repeating it over and over and over 47 times. And you didn't like 7-Eleven music, huh? 47 times, all right? And the shofar is going to be blown 9 times in the 2 days. But it's not just boop. No. Each blowing is 3 sustained long blasts, 1 quivering blast, and another sustained blast every time, okay? You got to do it this way. So you have got and this has been done for ages. As a matter of fact, they connect it with God because they say Moses did it. So this has got nothing to do with Judaism, all right? So we know God said blow the shofar. And so they go ahead and they blow it 9 times. in the 2 days, each time three sustained blasts, one quivering blast, and one sustained blast. Now, there are some real modern things that maybe if you have a Jewish friend, maybe you've seen this or you have heard about this. In these 2 days, the common practice is modern time, this is within the 20th century and up, all right, is that now they're sending New Year's greeting cards. Didn't do that temple days, believe me. They wear festive garments, and on the second day, they add a lot of fruit to that meal that they have at night before they go to the synagogue. And they put on a new garment. So they actually go out and they buy a new garment and they're going to put it on for the new year. And it's got modern symbolism. The greeting cards is because, you know, Christians do it. So it's like that Christmas tree we talked about last time. And so, you know, it's things that they've picked up here and there. So, but this has got nothing to do with what God said. This is just modern stuff. Does it belittle anything? It doesn't belittle anything. They just sent greeting cards. They wear festive garments. They go out and they buy a new garment, and then they add fruit to the meal. You know, big deal. All right? Now, let's talk about prophecy, and this is how I want to end it, and this is the way we always end these, but I want to really show you something very interesting here, how prophecy connects, and remember what Rosh Hashanah means, but let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. We'll wrap it up here. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 1. And we'll read verse 6 to verse 6, so hang in there with me. Okay, Deuteronomy 30, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing of the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, and all thine heart, with all thine heart, and with all thy soul. Okay, now, before we keep going, I want you to notice verse 1 again. It says, and it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. All right, now let's go to verse 3, because we read verse 2. That then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity, now watch this, and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the outmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee. That's not literally heaven. It's talking from the extreme parts of the earth, even, you know, if up in the heaven, that kind of thing. It's not literally. From thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed. That's important. And thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, and thou mayest live. Now, there's some interesting things there in verse 1. Also in verse 5, it talks about a regathering, a regathering, a regathering. And then it says that they're going back to the possession of their people. And so all this is going on, but what's the deal with this? Why did I bring you here? Because, see, keep the big picture. The big picture is, hey, repent if you need to, because you're getting ready for the new year. Blow the trumpet, which is connecting you with God and saying, I am God's people, and God, Jehovah, is my God. And remember that all this is because the Messiah may come this year, okay? The Messiah may come this year. And so that means that we're going to be regathered for the kingdom, all right? So get the big picture here, all right? Now, this chapter in Deuteronomy is read in the synagogue. every time they meet during Rosh Hashanah, there's a reading, and that's the reading. Because that's the hope. The hope is, get ready for the new year. This may be the year that we are regathered. This may be the year that the kingdom is established. This may be the year the Messiah comes, all right? And so this is read. Now, let me give you a historical connection that made this a historical event, because it's interesting, all right? So I'm gonna read this to you, all right? And then I'm gonna go back to the actual lesson. So on Wednesday, June 7th, 1967, okay, we're talking prophetic here, and we're talking about a prophetic event that ties this. So keep in mind, I know I haven't got, I kind of give you bits and pieces and then I back up. Keep in mind that Rosh Hashanah is celebrating a new beginning. June 7th, 1967, the height of the Six-Day War. Israeli forces push into Jerusalem. They recapture Jerusalem. The Temple Mount is recaptured. So, after 2,000 years, they've got Jerusalem back. Because the Romans took it away. Never got it back. Till now. This is the Jewish people's holiest place. It's in their possession. Jerusalem and the Holy Mount. You've got soldiers that are weeping. You've got generals weeping. You've got military people all over the place weeping. Arms are put down. People are getting out of tanks. I mean, these men and women are crawling almost to the wall. It's a big deal because they're either touching this thing, they're weeping on it, and it's theirs. There's a chaplain, and he's a chief army chaplain, and he's a rabbi chaplain, and he is by the last name of Goren. As a matter of fact, Shlomo Goren. He does something that became history, and to this day, the Jews see this as a big deal, and it should be. And he did something that was very significant. And now that you know what we're talking about, you're going to really get it. Now, remember when I told you the shofar is blown, okay? This rabbi takes out a shofar, and he blows it, and he blows it, and he blows it, and he blows it, and he won't stop blowing it. Nobody's stopping him. Minds are clicking, and these Jews are getting it. All the Jews immediately caught on. They knew exactly what, they recognized the intent. They realize what he is doing. He won't stop blowing the shofar. He just blows it and blows it. He is symbolically announcing to the world Israel's return to the promised land. What did we just read? Verse 5. So the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed. And they've been reading this year after year after year after year in the synagogues. In the synagogues in Poland, in the synagogues in Germany, in the synagogues they read this year after year after year. Now, it has true meaning. They got it. So, he blows the shofar and it defines the moment. What does Rosh Hashanah mean? Head or beginning, the start of a beginning. Isn't that cool? It's like, whoa. Wow. So, they have studied this and said it, and read it and hope for it and hope for it and hope for it. And then all of a sudden here, June 7th, 1967, the shofar is blown in Jerusalem. And yeah. So there's a prophetic message in Rosh Hashanah that actually begins. It hasn't ended, but it begins a new beginning, which is exactly what Rosh Hashanah is all about. There's the repentance. Well, there was all that time that God gave Israel before he gives them back the promised land, which he did, by the way, in 1940, well, in 1947, but here's 1967. But what I'm saying is that there's been all this time. This is the moment they've been waiting for. Because I hope you realize this. They don't have Israel if they don't have Jerusalem. Amen. Regathering, restoration, the beginning of a beginning, the new year, and so the shofar is blown. So, what's going to happen? You know, is this prophecy then fulfilled? Now remember, the end of the prophecy is when Messiah comes, because that's what they're waiting for. So now get the picture, and I'll close here. In 67, they blow the trumpet. They have Jerusalem. This chapter is now true. The regathering begins. The regathering has continued. But they're waiting for the Messiah, because that's really what Rosh Hashanah is. Every new year, they're waiting because they think this year is the year of the coming of the Messiah. This year. Now, we know he's come, but they're waiting for the kingdom to be established. One day, he will come back, and he will come back to Jerusalem. And so that's what they're looking for. So in the prophecy, this connection is tremendous, that they would actually read this chapter, which, by the way, has no history. Nobody knows. And as far back as Judaism can take it, it must have been Moses that started the reading of this during that festival. But what we find is that it connects perfectly when they finally get back into Jerusalem and what this Jewish rabbi did. It was tremendous. It has never been forgotten. Now, there's no indication that this festival is going to be carried on into the kingdom. So, you know, some we know have, but this one is not, all right? So when the kingdom is established, we know that there's going to be some that are going to be celebrated. Not this one. This one ends. And I believe that it ends, and of course I'm talking about the millennial reign, because it's a reminder of, remember, the covenant that God has made concerning the Messiah coming. Well, here's the thing. In the millennial reign, we're already connected with the Messiah. We're already there. We're together. And the Jews now, they're connected. The New Jerusalem is there, and so they're connected. So why does there have to be a looking forward to having the Messiah when he's already come? At that point, the kingdom has been established. The millennial reign is going. And so we find not in Ezekiel, we don't find it in Daniel, we don't find it in the Revelation where this happens, all right? Now, you might find, I will give you this and then we'll close in prayer here. You might find some scholars that say that they believe that in the millennial reign, the shofar is going to be blown. I'm not going to tell you yes or no on that. I don't know. They have good reasons, and I could see we're in celebration. The only problem is the shofar was for war. It was for regathering. The shofar was for repentance, celebration, yes, but then there's, you know, the Messiah coming or remembrance or, you know, and I know that you can kind of twist those and say, well, and it would be nice for the shofar to be blown, you know, on the millennial, and yes, but we really don't, that's kind of stretching it, but I'm not going to, I'd like to, you know, experience that, but you know, that's just the way it is. But the main part is that in the kingdom, this reminder is not going to be needed. And the way that all these verses come together and what Rosh Hashanah actually means is just incredible with what's happening in the prophecy of Israel and how it's fit in. Amen. Let's pray.